How did your conversation go? Tell me.
So, I think part of the challenge right now is I think my mom and I have a, as I said, like a pretty codependent relationship. And we had kind of like, I had the intention to have the conversation with her, and then we kind of like got into something and haven't really spoken since then. But with my dad, it was, I was like super, super anxious and worried that he was going to get really upset. And it actually went really smoothly. Like I called him almost immediately after we spoke now 2 weeks ago. And yeah, he just like really took to the idea of, yeah, you need to take care of yourself, and like mom and I can take care of ourselves.
Just
And I don't
repeat.
know, it was like a huge relief.
Oh, good. Repeat what you asked him and like a little bit of the conversation so we have some context. Yeah.
Yeah, I just said that like I felt like I was kind of carrying, not kind of, that I was carrying the burden of their happiness and well-being, and that I felt like so much of what I had, you know, was had kind of dedicated myself to over the years was making sure that they were okay and trying to kind of like bring some joy into their lives. And he didn't really say much to that. It was just kind of silent. And then, you know, I said that like I'm starting to realize that we're all just like we have to just take care of ourselves and be responsible for ourselves. And that's it. That's all that I can do right now. And his response was like, I just want you to take care of your own, you know, health. Because he obviously knows like I've been in a challenging place now for a few months. So yeah, I don't think he didn't really acknowledge the part about like me trying to make him happy or kind of like sensing that something between them wasn't, I don't know, something within themselves personally like wasn't good. He didn't really address that, but
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
the reason he didn't address that is that, and you know, we kind of threw you into these conversations, right? Because we only had one call, where you know, I would still walk you through more of the process. But it's asking him the question like, "Am I responsible for your happiness?" Because that's what I took on, you know, like a question. Because sometimes, did you do that just before I go into all of this?
Did I ask him if I am responsible?
Yeah.
No, I said, I'm realizing that like that I am not responsible.
Yeah. So you kind of answered the question. Does that make sense? It's okay that you did that. Totally fine. Like
Oh.
it's what we do when we're kind of scared to ask the question, you know?
Yeah.
Because we don't know what we're going to get back. So we'll resort to
Yeah.
just kind of answering it ourselves. But it you would have felt that piece kind of also come through on his part in terms of acknowledging that by just saying, am I responsible for that? Because sometimes they don't know where we're going with all of this, right? We also, it's important to also give the background of like why you're even talking to him about this, right? Because of your health and like what you've realized, even some of pieces of our conversation you could have put in there, you know what I mean? I'm just giving
Yeah.
you tweaks because this is common that this is the first place that you would go in the first conversation. It's so normal because there's just so much vulnerability in even just what you said. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
But even to go to the level that I'm asking you to go to takes a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But you did great, and you're saying how did that feel for you to hear just him say you're just responsible for yourself and your health?
I mean, it was relieving, and to be honest, I think the relief more so came when I heard it from you, because it was almost like permission. So by the time that I was saying it to him, it was already something that I felt like I kind of like claimed of like, no, actually I am only responsible. Like it was almost this like epiphany, even though it's obvious. But it did feel, it felt relieving, but it also felt like he wasn't like being real with me. So like I guess a day or two later, he had sent me a text message saying, and I actually wrote it down to say it to you. He said, make me feel better by telling you, by telling me what's going on with you that is good. And so like, even though he had said that, like, you're not responsible for my happiness, my well-being, whatever, it feels like the actions or like other words contradict that. And so it was relieving, but it didn't, I don't know, like it didn't feel genuine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And it's good that you are honest about that, right? Because it's a lot of people would just be like, oh, it's such a relief. I've never heard that. And I'm glad I was able to hear that. And like, I'm good. Like, you just want to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's usually a but in the back of our minds, because especially in the first couple of conversations, because we're undoing like a lot of evidence to the contrary. Right. So of course you're going to have, I call it kind of like, yeah, the but, or the, I don't believe you in the back of the mind kind of thing that comes up in the conversation, and you listened to that. And that's
yeah, a
big deal, because that shows your awareness. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't expect you to believe him completely just yet. And so like the next conversation would be telling him a little bit more about why you had even started that first conversation. You know, like, I feel like a part of why I'm so run down, you know, right now, is because for most of my life, I have been relating to you and mom like I need to be this person to make sure you guys are okay. Like, really getting into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you can even then kind of like what I call going backwards and kind of telling him how you've connected some of the dots, you know, from the past. But then also you can say, yeah, just like this last week, even when you said this, you know, like, make me happy by telling me something that's good going, like good that's happening for you. Like all of that, what that translates as is pressure.
Yeah.
To be okay and happy and, you know, on top of things. Mm-hmm. And that there's very little room for my sadness or for my, you know, upset or for when things don't go right.
Yeah.
And I need that room. Yeah. With you guys, you know?
Right. It's so, like, it's so hard. I mean, I feel like I think it's challenging when it's, like, hard for me to make space for all of that. But secondly, it's like, wait, but can I just, like, do the work myself and not have to get into these conversations, which I know that I can't. But like he's not someone that like believes in therapy. He's not someone that believes in change. So I think even having conversations like this, there's just this like feeling of dread of, I don't know. But
what's the dread?
But I'm definitely happy to try. What'd you say?
What's the dread?
That like in part, I don't think that he's ever really seen me. And so I think that like he calls a lot of what it is that I feel like drama. And like it's invalidating. And I think especially at a time in my life when I'm so raw and trying to like undo things, I'm noticing that like it's a lot easier for me to get hurt. And especially by him, who's like someone, you know, who's like kind of in my inner world. And like, I think I'm also just hypersensitive to invalidation right now. Again, also, you know, it's like, it's hard for me to make space and be okay with the sadness that I'm experiencing right now. So it's hard for me to think, to like expect that somebody else who is probably less emotionally equipped than I am to be able to hold that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally understand what you're saying right now. And so this is the frame that I want you to kind of walk into this conversation with. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if my dad believes in change or not. It doesn't matter if he believes in therapy or not. It doesn't matter if he's capable or not, because you don't actually know what he's capable of. Because most of us have never really let our parents in, truthfully. We've kind of learned lots of ways to not, to keep and feel safe and protected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you even said he's never seen you, that's probably true, yes, on his part. And I'm not putting this all on you. The onus is not all on you. But we haven't also let them in to see us. So how can the two ever come together within a relationship, right? But he doesn't have to believe in any of that you do, right? You have to believe in change. You have to believe that therapy is supporting you, or, you know, self-development in some way is supporting you. And the beautiful thing in having the conversation is most people think that the conversation is about getting validated, you know, by our parents in some way. And yeah, there's that part, but that's not actually the main piece of the conversation. The main piece of the conversation is actually you saying, I need this, I believe in this, and you are owning it. Does that make sense? With the people that you probably wouldn't own it with the most, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know this is going to sound like odd coming, especially from someone who's in the field myself. Like, have you ever encountered someone who kind of like, who believes that change is possible for other people, not necessarily for themselves?
Wait, tell me why you're asking me that question.
I mean, I come from him, and I think a lot of like the critical stuff that's in my head is like, I am a therapist by trade, and like in part I have recognized that like there are times that I don't believe in myself or in my work, but it doesn't feel like it's my thought necessarily, but it is something that drives me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've been, you know, in the game of healing for a very long time. And I think that I have some of like his stuff in my head of like, well, you know, this is just the way that people are, and kind of like, good luck, try to just live life the way that you're going. And like, it's a limiting belief that I've come across a lot on, you know, recently, is like, what if I'm not actually capable of healing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I know I'm not totally answering your question in this moment, but truth is that's why you're going, that's the potency of this conversation, is for you to own that you do believe that. Otherwise, why would you be doing what you do in the world?
Right. There's
absolutely your belief, you know, not the one that you've taken on from your dad. You're not your dad's voice, but your voice is, I believe people can heal. You know, I believe that there's more possible for them than they even think for themselves, you know? I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but I think that that's what you actually believe.
Right. Yeah, that... no, you're right.
Okay.
All right. I would hope that that's under there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be. I don't know. It'd be very interesting. It's an interesting question to sit in to then do what you do and not believe in that. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I'm going to kind of make an assumption that is absolutely there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say we go with that. And
yeah. So you then saying these things to him is actually declaring that. Does that make sense in some way?
Yeah.
And also, you know, I mean, there's so many variations in some of these conversations, and this doesn't have to be part of the next one. But it's then saying, like, if you know, I know over the years I've heard you say so many times you don't believe in therapy or you don't believe in change, then how, given where I'm at right now, how do you think I'm going to ever get through this?
Yeah.
Because I do have your voice in my head, you know?
And I wonder if that's like part of this like limitation actually that's holding me back, is that somewhere in my mind, and I think in a big place, I have bought into that belief that like, even if healing is possible for somebody else, like that's not possible for me. Like I've done EMDR in the past and I was like, am I too like messed up to even be able to do, you know, to like use this modality kind of a thing, which isn't the case. But, I think it's interesting to like, to notice that, yeah, that belief is super alive right there. And I love that you asked that question because I want to ask that to him, around like, how can I move through this?
Yeah. It's great. It's a great conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like, to come at it with like, just curious, how do you even think I'm going to get through this? You know?
Yeah.
Because I have my doubts someday, but I don't want to, I want to move through this, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So that can all be one conversation, just so you know. It's like three parts to the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the first bit before kind of asking him about like the capacity for my ability to heal or change is to, I guess, just go back and reiterate what I had said around like feeling burnt out, and that's partly due to feeling responsible for his happiness, and just like reiterate that. Is that the first part of this conversation?
Yeah, but that kind of sounds blamey. So
that's true.
You want to be careful of that, just because the only reason I say to be careful of that is because it doesn't actually get you to where you want to be. That's all. Because it's wrong or right. I'm not assigning a wrong or right to it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. So it's more like really go there with the conversation we had and explaining that to him. You don't have to tell him that we had this conversation. That doesn't feel good. But you can just say, like, I've realized, you know, like when I look back, like these moments, like even when you said to me, you moved back to the States, right? To make sure they were okay. Like that was on your own volition and decision,
you know?
Like to point even that out and say, because I was so worried, and it eats away at me like almost daily, and that's not necessarily your fault, and I'm not blaming you, I'm just letting you know like how I've translated things. But really go there. Does that make sense? So he has full context. Half the time we in these conversations what people are doing, they give them like, we give our parents like a little bit, and then we want a lot from their kind of response back, you know? But we really haven't given them full context of where we're going with the conversation, because we're scared, of course, right?
Right.
So do you get that's that part?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes sense. I think I like, I know it's all there in terms of feelings. I feel like I am like kind of freezing, like, because I'm like taking notes to try to like get my mind into that when I, you know, when I speak to him. But I feel like my mind goes blank a lot around him. So again, that's why I'm trying to just like take notes on it, so that if it does go blank, like, I can have my computer in front of me. Yeah. So basically, like, even the fact that I moved back because I want there like to be joy, and the fact, like, okay. Yeah.
Right. And just like, yeah, it eats away every day. Hence why you had a big breakdown, because most of what you're doing every day of your life isn't for you, but you didn't even know that, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I think that a big part of like the pressure that I even like for myself to get married and, you know, kind of go on, like, he's getting older and like, I want him to be able to walk me down the aisle. I want him to be able to like have grandchildren that he interacts with. And that feels like a lot of pressure on me. Like, do I want those things? Absolutely. But like, I feel like,
You feel like you
need
to fulfill him through those things. Yeah.
Right.
Versus fulfilling yourself. Yeah. I mean, even that is a great example, right? So you've got lots of examples. Yeah. You just really want to give him something to hold on to, so he gets it.
Okay. Okay.
And if you freeze, okay, so about the freezing really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just know you would not exist. You wouldn't.
Yeah,
you just wouldn't, you know. I say this a lot. Every diaper that you have to change for your child, every sleepless night, every hospital visit, every sickness, every diaper change, every thing that you worry about on a daily basis as a parent, you know, to keep your child safe and okay, is love. That's love. You know. And so, you know, everything else that's kind of on the exterior around a parent's belief, and whether it be religious, not religious, or, you know, any kind of beliefs that we just pointed out, one that you just said, you know, she doesn't believe in change.
Yeah.
You know, is separate from the love. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Although they feel very much like the exact same thing. And a lot of us position it like the same thing. Like, if you do it my way, then I'll love you, you know?
Right.
But.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to walk in, because the freezing is happening because you're absolutely terrified that the love is going to be taken away from you.
I'm terrified of somehow like hurting or angering him. And I feel like I always act and speak with such like delicacy that I don't, and this comes back to like our conversation the last time. I don't think that I genuinely believe that they're capable of taking care of themselves. But like, that's why that thought was like so empowering for me, was like, even if they're not, like, I can't have responsibility for that. But I think that I definitely tiptoe around to do what I can to, like, minimize his, I don't know, anything, like, painful for him.
Yeah, I know. And that's exhausting. Because, do you know what's underneath that? You do that because you're afraid he's going to take away his love.
Maybe.
If you hurt him, what happens?
He stops talking to me for the next year and a half of my life.
Exactly. So he takes away his love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what.
I don't know. I like have this belief that like it's like gonna physically like kill him. Like, he used to say that, you know, we'd have conversations and he's like, "Oh, well, you've given me chest pains," and like, you know, I don't want to harm his health a lot, like, I've been pretty used to like him withdrawing his love, but I think the fear for me is like, what is this going to do to his own like body and mind, you know, for him to kind of sit with like some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you even start with that.
Yeah.
Like if I really let you in and tell you the real stuff, like I'm afraid something's going to happen to you. Like, do I need to worry about that? You know?
Yeah.
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 So then that like gives that you runway for the other.
Yeah. For sure. And you know what I'm realizing like in our conversations is that there was like so much in my mind that goes on behind the scenes and so much like, you know, kind of like mind reading, and it's coming from a place of wanting to help and take care, but there's like so much that's gone on unsaid. And yeah, like I think that's probably a huge barrier in my own life and my relationships with them. It's just like not saying exactly what's real, like exactly that. I'm scared to say this to you because I don't think that you can emotionally or physically handle it.
Yeah.
I'm really into that idea.
No, you're absolutely right. So two things. One is your dad had an entire lifetime before he had you and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I think we forget that. And I think not only do we forget that, but I think we don't want to even think that that's true, because then where would our value lie?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's one thing to really take in. Like, he survived for, I don't know when he had you, 20 something.
In his 40s, but yeah.
Oh, so there you go. He had more than like half his life. He survived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without you. Okay.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, you're absolutely right. Then the gaps in understanding and the things that have been left unsaid in relationships are the number one reason why we have so much pain and hurt.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. I'm going to write that down too. Okay.
Cool. So try that out.
Okay.
And I would love to have one more conversation after that one, just to see how you're doing. I know we haven't touched mom yet, but we'll just keep with dad to kind of, kind of move through that, more through than not. Okay.
Okay.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Even thank you.
Having that first conversation is not easy. So know everything that I've been telling you in this conversation is just, it's not things that we're taught, or even told most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to hear how this next conversation goes.
Yes. Thank you. I feel like I have gained so much, like you're such an incredible practitioner, really. Like, I've been blessed to work with a lot of people in my life, more from like a professional standpoint. And I don't know, you just get it. You're there. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. That brought some tears to my eyes. So thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.